Begin the current daf, Masechtas Becharis daf Tes. Begin 9 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, the series of Mishnahs of this parak regarding the laws of Petach Hamor, regarding the firstborn donkey that comes out of the mother, where there's an obligation of transferring that, what's called Pidyon Petach Hamor, onto a sheep and giving that sheep to the kohen. So that says the Mishnah as follows. Chamor Shalei Bichur, if there's a female donkey that didn't yet have its firstborn child. The Yoldishnei Zecharim, and then it gives birth to twin males. Says the Mishnah, Nisim Tle'echa L'Kayin. So it only gives one sheep to the Kayin as a redemption, what's called the Pidyon Petach Hamor, because either way, one of them is the firstborn, that's the first one that came out of the womb. Might not know which one, but it's going to be one, and therefore you give one sheep to the Kayin. Let's say Zachar Nekeva. Let's say the mother gave birth to a male and a female. We don't know if the male came out first and then it's the Bechor, or the female came out first and then there's no Bechor because the Bechor is only if it's a male. So then says the Mishnah as follows. Mafresh Tle'echot, what the owner does is he designates one sheep out of doubt to be able to remove the sanctity of the Petach Hamor, the firstborn donkey, because it might be a firstborn, and then that gets designated and moved on to the sheep. But then that is La'atzmoy. That sheep, the owner takes for himself, and he doesn't have to give it to the kohen. Because that's regarding monetary law. The kohen is a mitzvah mechaver. He's trying to collect an olav lehevi rai. He has to bring proof with witnesses that the male had gone out first. Now, regarding the fact that the owner is going to be eating the sheep, that has no prohibitory law, because actually, even the petach hamor itself, when it's redeemed by a sheep, there's no sanctity, not in the chamor, and not in the redemption, not in the sheep. As the Mishnah teaches at the end, the last halacha of the Mishnah says, v'meis, if it dies, nenabai, it could have benefit. The only concern that we have regarding the sheep is that of monetary law of theft. If he doesn't give the sheep to the kohen, he's stealing the kohen's money. But here there's no theft because it's a situation of doubt. You want to prove that this was a firstborn, you have to bring proof. But regarding the prohibitory law, he had already removed the sanctity from the Petach Hamor onto the sheep. But now that he did that, regarding monetary, the kohen has to bring the proof. And up until he does, which no one could bring proof, the owner could keep it for himself. Continues the Mishnah, let's say the owner has two donkeys that didn't yet have its firstborn. And then these two donkeys gave birth to two males. So either one, there is two males from two new mothers, so he gives two sheep to the kain. Zachar in the cave. Let's say these two new mothers, one gave birth to a male and one gave birth to a female. So as we're going to see, the halach is, so he gives one sheep to the kain because of one of them that had a firstborn male. Oishnei zachar in the cave. Or if they're between the two of them, they had two males and one female, because one of them gave birth to a male, and one of them gave birth to a male and a female. Here too, Nisan Tle'ech on the kohen, he gives one sheep to the kohen, because most definitely one of them had a definitive male as its firstborn. Now the other one is a doubt. Maybe the female went out first, and maybe the male did. So therefore he has to separate a sheep for that, just in case, but then he could keep it for himself. So there's going to be, in both those cases, one sheep being given to the kohen. Let's say shtein nekevas v'zachar. Let's say between the two animals, there's two females and one male. Or shnei zachar m'shtein nekevas, or two females and two males. Now you're in doubt. Maybe each one of these animals gave birth to a male and a female because we have two males, two females. So they had twins, but we don't know who had what. So maybe it's possible that each donkey gave birth to a male and a female, and maybe the females went out first. So maybe he doesn't have to give anything to the kohen. Maybe there's no real bechor. So therefore, the halacha is ein l'kohen klum. The kohen doesn't have anything over here. Rather, what the owner does is he separates two sheep to deconsecrate the petach hamor onto the pidyon petach hamor to remove its prohibition. But then he gets to keep it for himself because that's regarding monetary law. Maybe none of them were really a bechor. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say he has achas bikra of achas shalei bikra. He has two donkeys. One is its first, one already had a first, one and one didn't. V'yoldu shnei zecharim, and then they give birth to two males. So, noishin t'leach l'kain, he gives one sheep to the kain, because again, the one that already had, it's not the firstborn. This one that's having for the first time a male, he gives that one to the kain as a sheep. Zachar nekeva, let's say between these two donkeys, the one of them is a male, and one of them gives birth to a female. Oh, then mafresh t'leachad la'atzmai, then he separates one sheep, but he keeps it for himself, because maybe the one that didn't yet have a child, it's the one that had the female. And the one that already had, even though it's a male, it's not the firstborn. So therefore, maybe he doesn't have to give anything to the kohen, but maybe it is. So he separates, but he keeps him to himself. Now, the Mishnah continues, going back in the beginning of the Mishnah, And we're talking about this concept regarding how many sheep do you have to give because of the firstborn donkeys. So that the Mishnah is discussing, how do we know that the pidyon pet chamor, the redemption of the firstborn donkey, is with a sheep? It says the pasuk in Shemais, it says pet chamor tifta beset, that the firstborn donkey you redeem with a sheep, and that's what's given to the kain. Now that the Mishnah qualifies, that's min hakvasim and min ha'izim, that's from lambs, from sheep, and from goat. Zachu nekeva, whether the sheep is male or whether it's female. Gadol v'katan, whether it's big or small. Tam balnum, whether it's unblemished or blemished. Moreover, says the Mishnah, paidu bepam harbe, that he could redeem with that same sheep many times, where if, let's say, the kohen that he had given the sheep to gave it back to the Yisrael, and now he has many more firstborn donkeys, he could redeem it with that same sheep and give again the sheep as the pidyon pet chamor. Moreover, nichnas ladir lesaser, it goes into the pen to be typed as the tenth of the animals, which the halacha maisa behem is, which Gemara will explain this halacha. And the mace, like we referred to this halacha before, if it dies, then the boy could have benefit from it. There's no prohibitory law on this. There's no isser on the pidyon pet chamor if it dies to have benefit from it. Now says the Gemara Mantana, who's the town of our Mishnah that said regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah that if a donkey that didn't yet have children and gives birth to two males, so he said, okay, you only give one sheep to the kain, because obviously one of them is the firstborn, we don't know which one, but there's one, and you give one sheep to the kain. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, delik Rabbi Yisrael Glili, it's not like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Why? The Rabbi Yisrael Glili, if it's like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, ha'amah, efshalat samtzim. He says, actually, it could be precise, where the Gemara says later on, David Zayin Aleph, regarding a rachel, a sheep, which we're talking about here, the non-kosher version of the chamor, pet chamor, there is talking about regarding a sheep that didn't yet have its firstborn, and then gives birth to two males. So basically it says, both of those, which there you don't redeem it, there you give the firstborn itself to the kain, both of them have to go to the kain. Why? Because he says, efshalat samtzim, it could be precise, that both of them actually went out at the same time, and both of them are actually literally the firstborns, and therefore they both have the halacha of the Bechar, which is the Bechar of giving the firstborn sheep to the kain. And therefore our mission that says you only give one is obviously not like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Because like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, you should have to give, you should have to redeem both of them, because they're both Pet Chamar. And then Abaye says, no, if you tell me Rabbi Yisrael Glili, could you even say the town of Mishnah like Rabbi Yisrael Glili? Because Shani Hasam, the Chsev, there by Rachel, by the kosher animals, by the sheep, there it's different that, yeah, there you have to give both. Because it says in the Pasuk, Hazacharim LaHashem, the males go to Hashem, which sounds like in the plural, that both. In contrast, in our halacha of our Mishnah by the Pet Chamor, it doesn't say Hazacharim. So you could say that even if Rabbi Yisrael Glili holds Yeh Efshalat Samtzim, that maybe they both went out at the same time, still they're not going to be sanctified, because only one is going to be the Pet Chamor. Even though both of them are really the Pet Chamor coming out at the same time, but you don't give two, you only give one. But that is the Gemara. Why? Veligmar minei. Why didn't we learn out the laws of our Mishnah, Bechar Behemet Tameya, of a Pet Chamor, from that halacha of Behemet Taira, from that of a Rachel, of a sheep? Says the Gemara, because Hamid Rachmana Hazacharim. The pasuk is exclusionary when it says hazacharim, the males. There is where it's going to be plural, zacharim. Because the extra hay says this, but not elsewhere. Only by the kosher animals will the bechar both have to be obligated, in contrast to halacha of our Mishnah on Petach Hamar. Igadamah, those say a slightly different version, that the Gemara had asked, Lema the loy kribiyase glili. Let's say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Glili, the ear Rabbi Glili, because it's like Rabbi Glili, or M.F. Shalat Samson, he says, you can be precise. So why would you have to give only one pidyon pet chamor? You should have to give two for the two donkeys that might have came out at the same time. I'm a buyer. That's what he says. No, I feel like Rabbi Glili, you can even say the laws like Rabbi Glili. There it's different, because it says in the plural, and it says in exclusionary terminology, in contrast to the laws of the pidyon pet chamor. Well, now the Gemara asks. So Bishlam and the Bihimah, you understand according to Bihimah's interpretation. That he said the laws of our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Because he explained the halacha of our Mishnah because our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. You can't be exact. Meaning, it's not possible that the head of one of them didn't come out first for him to be the Pet Chamor. Can't be that both of them had their head come out at the same moment. And therefore, that's why it's going to be only one pidyon pet chamor, because only one of them was the firstborn. So therefore, we can understand why our Mishnah did not say a case of a yatzu shnei rashein ke'echad, when both of them had their heads going at the same time, because that's exactly the case that we learned later on in the Mishnah of Yizayin Medav by the law of Bisei Glili. So why didn't the town of our Mishnah say that case? Because it's not possible. The town of our Mishnah holds Yeshlet Samson. It can't be that they both had their head come out at the same time. So that's why we didn't say that case. But El Abai, according to Abai, that he holds that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosei Glili, and that the time of the Mishnah holds Efshel Tzamtzim. It could be that really both of them came out at the same moment. And the reason why I actually only give one, not two, is because of the mute of the word Hazacharim, that only with thee give two, he give one. But then listening to Yatsushne Roshen Kech, then let our Mishnah learn the case of when both of them have their head coming at the same time, which would have said a bigger chiddush that says that even if we see both come at the same time, still it's going to be different than the law of Rachel, and it's only going to be chayv one, not two, because it made of Hazacharim. But say that case explicitly. Void, Morba says the Gemara, what's difficult on Abaye is because Tanya learned explicitly that even by the non-kosher animal, by the Petach Hamor, Rabbi Yisi did say that both do go to the Kayan. As the Braisa teaches, Chamayra Shalei Bichra, his donkey, the law of our Mishnah, that didn't yet have its firstborn, V'yaldishnei Zecharma gives birth to two males, V'yatsushnei Rishen Kechen, and both their heads come out at the same time. Basically, he says Shnei and Lekayin both go to the Kayan. Shalom, like says in the Pasuk, Hazchar B'Lashem, that the males, the plural, goes to Hashem. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second, for Kiksev Hai, but with that pasuk that he's bringing, Bekudushas HaGufta HuDichsev, that's by something that has a physical sanctity, meaning by the Bechir Bein Metayr, by the kosher animal, by the sheep, where that's where it says, it. How's he bringing it as a proof for the Behemoth Tameya of Chamer? Ella rather says the Gemara, no, Mishum Shenem HaZacharim LaShem, because it says by the kosher animal, by its firstborn. Where from there we learn out that you give both. Well, how you give them both? Obviously, because both of them are the firstborn, because Efshelet Samson, it could be exact. Oh, so then Rabbi Yisrael says, so you see that Efshelet Samson, so then by Petach Hamor also, when they happen to both come out at the same time, then yes, both of them are going to be, have to be redeemed with Pidyon Petach Hamor. You have to give two. So one thing says the Gemara, Tiyuvta clearly refutation of Abaye. He wanted to say that a halach of Mishnah isn't like, even like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. And he would agree over here that you wouldn't have to give, even if they both come out at the same time, the Pidyon Petach Hamor for two of them, only one of them, because the meat of Hazacharim. See, clearly that he says that no, that he agrees that the same thing is by Petach Hamor, that if they both come out at the same time, and Efshelet Samson, you actually would have to give two to the Kohen, and not one, like Abaye tried to say in his opinion. Now the Gemara continues on the base and says, okay, so Rabbanan, the way we're saying now, like Abaye. So according to Rabbanan, let's say according to Rabbanan, that they're the Tana of our Mishnah, that they said that, okay, only one you're going to be obligated in. But let's say that they hold that miktsas rechem, that only part of the uterus that's touching the firstborn, that makdish, that's enough to sanctify the firstborn. Why? Dikuli rechem makdish, because if it's the entirety of the uterus that's sanctifying the firstborn as it's coming out, so Nehidi Efshelet Samson, although we said for the Rabbanan that they hold not like basically, that it can't be exact. And therefore, there is one of them that's coming out first, that's the one that's being sanctified. And that's why the Tanav Mishnah says you only chayiv in one redemption, one sheep. You can still ask. Because before the entirety of that first one goes out, his brother, the other one, is Chatzitza Mi'ika. He's interposing between part of his brother who's a little bit ahead of him and the uterus, because the pasuk says in Mamidbachas, petakol rechem, the first of the entirety of the uterus, until he's coming out of the entirety of the uterus. The difficulty is, but his brother is blocking part of it, who's right behind him, and therefore that should not be a fulfillment, unless you say miktsas rechem is enough to sanctify. Now the reason why we're asking this question according to Rabban, not according to Biesi, is because Biesi holds, as we just pointed out, that both of them are sanctified. So then they're like one. And therefore, that he would agree that would not be a chatzitza. But according to Rabban, that only one is kaddish, and therefore the other one is totally a different thing. So he should be a chatzitza between his brother, who's going out a little bit ahead, and he's becoming the petah rechem, but he's not petah the entire rechem because his brother's blocking part of it. So Amarave says no min b'mina, when it's the same species. We're here; they're both the same species. They're both the same creature. So in the chaitz, it's not interposition, and therefore that's not a problem for the halacha being the petach hamor, that other donkey is the same thing as its brother, and therefore it's not considered chatzitza, and therefore that first one we could say is not miktas rechem, it's kol rechem, it's the entirety of the uterus that it's being sanctified by. Now our Mishnah said, zachar nekeva, if let's say it gives birth to a male and a female, so then, without sure which one's first, if it's a female, there's no law of Bechar. If it's male, then there is. So mafresh tleh, so he says he has to separate a sheep, in case, as the Gemara is going to explain, that maybe it is the firstborn, and that's regarding taking care of the prohibitory law. Then mechulu, etc., but then he could keep it for himself, because regarding monetary law, the kain has to prove that was actually the firstborn, and if not, the owner's not obligated. So the Gemara asks this as a question. But wait, since he's saying the sheep he keeps himself, why does he have to separate in the first place? Says the Gemara, it's because lafkui listuri minayis. It's because you have to remove the prohibitory element of sanctity of the firstborn donkey from it and separate it onto the sheep, just in case it might have been the firstborn. Monetarily, the kohen cannot claim it, but regarding prohibitory law, you have to. So says the Gemara, sa'amu, so you see, and other gesuris, instead of the word kivan, say the word kolkama, that kolkama dulei mifka, as long as it's not been removed, that sanctity from the firstborn donkey, that asbana, would be forbidden to have benefit, because if there was no problem, so what do you have to do, the separation and to keep the sheep? Don't do anything, just leave everything as is. No, because if you don't do that, the patachama, the firstborn donkey, which might be as safik deraisa, would be forbidden to have benefit. So masnit nimani, who's the town of a Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Bihudi, it's like a Bihuda. The town like learned the braisa. Pet chamar, the firstborn donkey, when it's just as is before it's redeemed, aser b'hanah, it's forbidden to have benefit, as some girsai said, and the words, div Rebbe Yehuda, that's the word of Rebbe Yehuda, holds that there's a prohibition as the town of a Mishnah of having benefit from it. Whereas Rebbe Shimon Matar, Rebbe Shimon says you actually allowed to have benefit from the pet chamar, even if it wasn't yet redeemed. So says the Gemara, my time to Rebbe Yehuda, now the Gemara discusses at length the machlekes, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon, what's the reasoning of their machlekes regarding if a petachamar, the firstborn donkey, before it's redeemed, if there's a prohibition or permissibility of having benefit from it. So Gemara says, my time to Rebbe Yehuda that he holds, like the town of Mishnah, that's asa tavana. So Ma'uli says, it's svara, it's a logic. Why? Yesh lecha davish etzarech pediyu mutri, is there something that has to be redeemed? There's an obligation of redemption, and that it's going to be permitted to have benefit from it before it's redeemed? Here, there's obligation of pidyon petachamar. So obviously, it's asa to have a benefit from it until you do that. That says the Gemara Veloy, what? That you don't have such a case that needs redemption, but it's permitted before that? Vahari Bechair Adam, you have another law of Bechair, that of the firstborn son. Shetzarech Bediyah, he has to be redeemed with 5 coins by the Kohen. Umutr, yet it's permitted to have benefit from activities that he does before he's redeemed, because we never find anywhere that that should be forbidden. So the rather says the Gemara, no, a little bit different. Yesh lecha davar, you think there's something shekpido lav Torah besed, that the Torah is particular regarding how you have to redeem it. With a sheep, umutr, and that it should be permitted? Since the Torah was so stringent that it specified exactly how you have to redeem it with a sheep, and not with anything else, most definitely it's forbidden to have benefit before you go ahead and redeem it. Now that says, what do you mean? Was the Torah particular that you have to redeem the donkey, the firstborn, with a sheep? But that's not the case. Vorav Nechemya Bereder of Yosef Parakle Bishilki. He actually redeemed his firstborn donkey with cooked vegetables, Bishavyai, which was equal the amount, those vegetables, with the value of the donkey that he gave that to the kain. So he said, you don't have to redeem it with a sheep. Oh, says the Gemara, no. Bishavyai Lekamar. We weren't talking about regarding the equal value of the donkey, because obviously Petach Amar is not going to be more stringent than the laws of regular Hektish, which yes, you can redeem it with the value of the thing itself. We were talking about if you're redeeming the firstborn donkey with not its worth, its value. On that, this is what we're saying. Could you think that there's something that the Torah is so particular regarding it? That when you want to remove its prohibition, when it's not worth its value, of course, worth its value, of course, you can do with anything. But when it's not worth its value, that has to be beseh, that has to be specifically a sheep, meaning even when it's not according to its value, like our Mishnah taught, yeah, gadol v'katan, it could even be small, but the Torah is particular what it has to be, and therefore, if the Torah is particular, that has to be redeemed with this thing when it's not according to its exact value, then obviously, up until you go ahead and redeem it, that's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it. And that says the Gemara, but v'hari ma'iser. You have the laws of ma'iser sheni, which, that's the second tithe. The first tithe of his grain he gives to the Levi, the second one he has to bring up to Yerushalayim and eat it. Which, if he doesn't want to bring it all up, he redeems it onto money and brings that money up to Yerushalayim. Where Shekpidol of Torah Bekesav Tzuri, the Torah is particular that redemption can only be on a coin that has an imprint on it. It's an imprinted coin. Because Allah says you cannot be deconsecrating it on what's called Asimon, which is a coin that doesn't have any imprint. Like the Pasuk says in Devarim Yudal, that's from the word of Tzura, has to have an image to that coin. So you see the Torah is particular what you have to redeem it on. And yet in spite of that, it's still we learn the Mishnah Masechet Kedushin that says, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, if someone deliberately had intention to go ahead and be mechal his meiser sheni produce, that kiddush. Meaning, if he went and he sanctified a woman with the meiser sheni produce, that she sanctified. obviously you see that even though this is something that the Torah is particular how you have to redeem it, still we see that until that you didn't, it's permitted to have benefit from it. We're here, he was able to be Mekadosh Anisha with the Ma'aseh Sheni produce. So you see, not like the Svara, not like the logic that we just said. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a difficulty. But Petach Amar Nami Mekadosh. What I mean, even regarding the firstborn donkey, even though we're saying that it's Asa B'Hanah like Yehuda, but even then, in this halacha that we just quoted was Rabbi Huda would agree the same thing as would be by Petach Amar, that he could redeem a woman with the firstborn donkey itself before it was redeemed. That's Kedir Belaza, because that's for a different reason, like Kedir Belaza. Because the Amar Belaza, he said, Ishi Adas, a woman knows, which is explained the previous halacha of Rabbi Huda, B'mezit Kiddush, She'ein Ma'aser Sheni Meschal Al Yoda. She knows that by him giving her the Ma'aser Sheni, that's not a deconsecration. This is still bona fide Ma'aser Sheni produce. And the reason why she's engaged by him giving it to her is because she goes up and she eats it in Yerushalayim. So she's going to fulfill the obligation. Therefore, it is a valid kiddushin that he's giving her something of value, which she's going to go up and take up to Yerushalayim. Now, Hachinami here also, Ishi Adas, a woman knows that Petach Amar is Suri Hispe. She knows, of course it's Asa Bahana, like Rabbi Huda says. And there's a prohibition on it. But again, here too, she'll fulfill the mitzvah obligation and she'll redeem it with a sheep. So wait, so then, okay, we understand why he could be Mekadosher with it, there's no violation of law, but then what is he giving her? Oh, what he's giving her is the Mekadosher Bahach, the Beini Beini. He's sanctifying her with the value that's between, because the donkey is worth more than the sheep. So she's going to end up keeping the donkey, and she's going to deconsecrate onto a sheep and give that to the Kohen. And that difference of value is what he's giving to her for Mo'is Kedushin, but that's why, yes, you're right. It is forbidden to have benefit from the Ma'aseh Sheni beforehand because the Torah was particular. And it is forbidden to have benefit from the Petach Amar because the Torah was particular. So then why does Kedushin work? That's for different reasons, because a woman knows the halacha and she'll go ahead and have benefit from it in the permitted way by taking the Ma'aseh Sheni up to Yerushalayim. It's not Mechul yet. It's not like it was deconsecrated into something else. And the Petach Amar, yes, it is prohibited, but she's going to do it in the right way. And then that benefit that she'll have, that she'll transfer onto the lesser value sheep, that's the benefit. And therefore, she's engaged. But that doesn't contradict what we're saying in Rabbi Huda, that it is forbidden to have benefit because the Torah was particular how you have to redeem it. That's the logic, says Ula in Rabbi Huda. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon, my time. What's the reason of Rabbi Shimon that he says that a Petach Amar, firstborn donkey, is permitted to have benefit from it before it's redeemed? So Ma'uli, he says, Yeshlach Adavish HaPidyayin HaMutter, he uses a different logic. Shimon understands, what, is there something that the thing that you're redeeming it on to is permitted, because like in this case, the Kohen is allowed to eat the sheep that's the pidyon Petach Amar without sacrificing as a carbon, it's totally permitted. For who aser? And you're going to say that, but the thing itself, the original thing before it's redeemed, is prohibited? How could the thing that you're redeeming it on to be totally permitted, and the thing that was originally is going to be forbidden? Because we find, before it's redeemed, because we find by Psulei Mekdashin, Karbanos that became invalidated, where they're forbidden to have benefit before the redeem. So therefore we understand that the thing that you redeem it onto also has its sanctity and becomes forbidden. But how could you have such a thing that the redemption thing is permitted and the thing itself originally would be aser? And therefore he says, no, it can't be. If the pidyon Petach Amar, the sheep, is totally permitted, the original thing itself is also permitted to have benefit from it. It has no prohibition in it at all before it's redeemed. Says Gemara V'loy, what, you don't find that something that the pidyon is permitted but the thing itself originally is aser? But v'hari shvi is, but you'll have the laws of a Shemitah produce where if someone sells the produce of the Shemitah year. The halacha is, the pidyon mutter, the thing that you're redeeming it onto is permitted, meaning the produce will remain prohibited, will have the status of the prohibition of shvias, but the money that it was transferred onto, the money that it gets from it, that monies are permitted forever. Vehi asura, yet the produce itself is prohibited. It has the qualifications and the stringencies of the Shemitah produce, which it has to be liquidated at the time when there's no more for the wild animals. So you see that the pidyon's mutter, but the thing itself is asur. Now, that's because the assumption of the one who was asking the question was that because there is an element of the what was redeemed from the shvias is permitted, but he didn't hear the correct halacha, as we're going to shortly quote, but that's not really true. It's only what the middle stages are. But actually, the original thing and the pidyon, which is the last thing that ends up with that sanctity, actually does have kedusha shvius. As the Gemara says, no, shvius not mi pidyon no aser. It's not true. Shvius, the original thing is aser, and the pidyon is also aser. So you don't have a case where you're showing me that the pidyon is mutter and the original thing is aser, because there is no such thing, says Reb Shimon. And therefore, if the pidyon is mutter, he says, the petach hamer before tzaddim is also going to be mutter. Because Amar Malik, the master says, ha'achrin achrin, the last thing, as the Gesoyas add on the words, nitfas b'shvias, actually does have the sanctity of Shemitah produce, which is what we're calling the pidyon. And v'hapriyatzmai, and the original produce of Shemitah, is going to be aser, is going to be forbidden, as the Gemara in Sukkot of Mem and Beis explains, that if someone buys if he buys with the Shemitah produce, which is this from the Shemitah year, he buys a piece of meat. The halacha actually is the original thing and the pidyon, which the meat, both have to be liquidated at the time of the beer of the Shemitah produce. Now, what the questioner had right was, but if let's say with that meat, which is the pidyon of the Perish Shviz, he then used that meat to buy wine, then the meat is actually going to be permitted, because then the wine takes the place. But the pidyon and the original thing of Shemitah will always be aser. If you use the wine to buy oil, okay, then the wine is permitted, and then the oil takes the place. But the thing is, the last thing takes the place of the sanctity of Shemitah to go ahead and be liquidated at the same time, which the pidyon is aser, and the original fruit of the Shemitah produce, which is where everything is coming from, its strength of prohibition, wherever it is, it's always going to be aser at the time of the beer, of getting rid of the Shemitah produce, and onward. So actually, the case of Shemitah is actually a case of he vipidyon aser. So that's one interpretation of their machlekes, which was based on logic regarding, can we say that the original thing should be usur or permitted, this pidyon, this petach hamor, in relation to its pidyon. If you want, you could say another interpretation. That actually, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, their machlekes regarding the permissibility of the petach hamor before it's redeemed, they're not disagreeing in logic, they're disagreeing in the interpretation of the following pasuk. The Tanlik Lunda Braisa. Pasuk says in the Varm, Leisavad Bechor Sherecha. You now do any work with the firstborn of your ox. There's a prohibition of doing work with the Bechoris. Now, when it says Sherecha, your ox, Aval Ata'iva, but you could do work, Beshalcho, Beshalachem, if it's yours and a non Jew. For example, if let's say there's a firstborn animal that a Jew has a partnership with a non Jew. Oh, then it's not just Sherecha, it's not just your ox, it's a partnership with a non Jew. Then you're actually allowed to do work with that firstborn animal. When it says, you're not allowed to share the wool of the firstborn of your sheep, he also says, it's only there. But you could share the wool of a sheep that's a firstborn that's owned by you and of non-Jews. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. Now, although, as we had taught in the previous daf, the Behuda actually holds in the case when there's a partnership between the Jew and the non-Jew, that he actually has to give half of his value in that sheep of the firstborn to the Kayin. Still, it's permitted to do shearings and do work with it because there's no halfway sanctity. Yes, you have to give the monetary value to the kain, but regarding the animal itself, there's no prohibitory law on it at all. Now, therefore, that's what he's using this pasuk for. So, this is regarding the kosher animals, but regarding petach hamor, there's no exclusionary halacha from this pasuk, and as long as we have no meat, so there's not going to be any permissibility with it because it's no less than the kosher animal, which here we're only excluding if it's own partnership with a non-Jew. But regarding a regular shor, regular tzayin, the halacha is that it's prohibited to have benefit, so too is going to be the halacha of the petach hamor of the non-kosher animal. Whereas as we're going to quote now, Reb Shimon actually excludes it from the pasuk. Because Reb Shimon, I mean, he learns something else from this pasuk. When it says, Leisavid bevchor sherech, you shouldn't do any work with the firstborn of your ox, Aval ato even bevchor adam, but you could do work with the firstborn of your man, just not of the ox. So you could do work with the firstborn of the human before he's redeemed. And Leisagid bevchor tzenech, when it says, don't shear the wool of the firstborn of your sheep, but you could shear the wool, you could shear the skin of the firstborn of your donkey. It's only saying tzeinecha by the kosher animal that there's a prohibition of doing work. But you see that there's a permissibility of benefit from the petach hamor before it's redeemed, because that's what he learned from the word tzeinecha. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn that from there, so therefore it's going to have the prohibition of having benefit from it. Now, says the Gemara, Bishlan of Shimon, we understand according to Bishimon, we understand why there's two psukim of Sheirecha and Tzeinecha. Sheirecha is excluding because there's three halachas of Bechar. There's Bechar Adam, firstborn son. There's Bechar Sheir and Sain, which is the firstborn of the kosher animal, which is given to the guy. And there's the Petach Hamar, the firstborn of the non-kosher animal. So Sheirecha is excluding Adam, that is no prohibition of benefit. And Tzeinecha is excluding Hamar. Petach Hamar, there's also no prohibition of benefit. El Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, Trey Kroy, two psukim. To exclude when it's an own partnership with a non-Jew, why do you need two psukim to say the same idea? He was saying the same idea from Sherecha and Tzaynecha regarding Giza and regarding Avoida. Of course, we're already excluding the partnership. Why would you need two? V'su, moreover, asked the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, b'charadum nami name of the aser? It's going to sound like, because he's not using Sherecha like Rabbi Shimon, so what? He's going to hold that actually it's forbidden to have benefit from the work of a firstborn son? So the rather says the Gemara, you're right. The Kuliyam, according to everyone, the first miut of Sherecha of your ox is lemuti b'char adam hudasa. It's coming to exclude the firstborn of man, where there's no prohibition of benefit from the firstborn son. Ki peligi b'tzeinecha. The machlik is regarding the second word of tzeinecha. Because the behudul tamei, which we actually just alluded to earlier, goes according to his reasoning. The amma that he holds, shutfes levi kachavim chayevs b'b'char. He holds that when there's a partnership with a non-Jew, unlike the Chacham who disagree with him, that there's actually an obligation of the firstborn that he has to give his half to the Kohen. So therefore, v'chiyitzachra, when we needed the pasuk of Tzeinecha, that it was on this to say that even so, that there is a halacha of Bechor on his part, l'mishah b'gizav avayda. Still, as we mentioned this before, there's still permissibility of sharing it and working with it because it doesn't have any physical sanctity. Yeah, monetarily has to give his half to the kind, but still you could do work with it and you could share its wool. That's what Tzaynech has to say. It's only your time and it's totally yours, but then you can't share the wool. But if it's only in partnership with a non-Jew, although there is a halacha b'chayr, there's no problem about doing work with it. But Rabbi Shimon Saba, he holds, no, shutfas evi gechavim b'turman b'chayr. He holds when there's the firstborn that's a partnership with a non-Jew, totally exempt from the firstborn, the Jew doesn't have to give his half to the kain. So therefore, so you can't say that's what Tzaynech is coming to say regarding that case, that you could share the wool and you could work with it because there's no conditions b'chayr there at all. So rather, kiyitzachra lepetach amar. So what do we need the pasuk to say to exclude? Must be talking about a different case there of the petach amar, that there's not going to be any problem of having benefit from it. You can benefit from it, you can work with it, you can share the wool, which is his halacha, that you're allowed to have benefit from the petach amar before it's redeemed. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is like the halacha of our Mishnah, they hold that there is a halacha that is prohibited before it's redeemed. Now, continues the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda. We understand according to Rabbi Yehuda that we just explained that he expounds Tzaynecha to say it's only prohibited to have benefit from it when it's totally your sheep, but not when it's a partnership with a non-Jew. That's why it says your sheep, which sounds like it's totally designated of yours, and not just Tzayn sheep, because it's excluding when it's in the partnership with a non-Jew. And so too, we could even understand V'sheirecha, your ox, where although there technically it could have said Bivchar Shair, and that would have still excluded an ox and not a person, even so, we could understand why it says Sheirecha, because Atu Tzaynecha, to keep the uniformity of the pasuk, where since it says we had to say Tzaynecha, your sheep, to exclude if it's only partnership with a non-Jew, so therefore the beginning of the pasuk also said Sheirecha, your ox. But Eler B'Shimon, according to B'Shimon, the pasuk should have just written Shor and Tzayin, Sheirecha v'Tzaynecha lamali. What's the purposefulness of saying your ox and your sheep? You don't have to say the end the chav. Yours, that's not the relevancy. It's regarding Shor and not Adam, and Tzayin and not Petach Amar. So the Gemara Kasha, according to Reb Shimon, it's difficult. Why does it have to say Sheirecha and Tzaynecha?